This is Mental, the podcast to destigmatize mental health. I'm Bobby Temps, and each week with an inspiring guest, we delve into a factor or condition that influences the mind and how to better manage it. So, here we go. This week, we're talking all about January as a factor in mental health. And joining me for this episode is a somewhat regular, at this point, guest on the pod, Kyle Moore, a fellow podcaster who I first got to interview about OCD and generalized anxiety disorder, which was episode 183, if you want to scroll back. It holds up. I re-listened to it a little while ago, and it's such a great conversation. He is fascinating and funny. And that is part of the reason we've become really great friends. So I think this is technically his fifth time appearing on the pod, because he's also done an intro with me for a previous episode, but like fourth proper episode. As someone who has had their fair share of ups and downs at this time of year, I wanted to take a time to chat with a friend around many of the pressures, many of the factors in our mental health that can come together at this time of year, and steps that both of us have taken in trying to address that. There's a lot of optimism in this episode, and it is hard-fought optimism, I think I can say, for both of us. One more thing to mention is that I am recording this off the back of a very long and hectic day. So as much as you'll hear us talk about boundaries, looking after yourself, getting loads of sleep, if I sound a bit lower energy, that is why. But I have a big sleep planned now. This is my last thing of the day. So I hope you get a lot from it. I hope you're doing okay on these short days and cold nights. Who's our sponsor? Let's find out. So with this unconventional January episode, I'm bringing us in at the start of the interview to welcome the wonderful podcaster who's become a great friend, Kyle Moore. And today we're talking all about mental health in January, this concept that seems to be so entrenched in culture. You know, whether you're somebody that talks about mental health in your day-to-day life or not, there can be a real kind of weight to this time of year, a consciousness, and you know, we'll be discussing a bit of what that means for each of us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, Bobby, it's always thank you for having me back. I anytime that we get to hop on the mics together, it's always it always just makes my day. So I am I couldn't be happier to be here. But yeah, this is something that we were both we actually had the opportunity to chat about off mic, off camera the other day. This time of year is so interesting because I find that like January rolls around, and especially if you're living in a part of the world where winter is particularly nasty and cold and long and dark, like we both are, I feel like January kind of finds this interesting place where December, I don't feel like the sense of like weather has quite, or winter has quite set in yet. It's still like the days are getting darker, and you're like, okay, sure. We're coming off of like a beautiful fall. The days are getting shorter. You're kind of like, Christmas is on the horizon. The holiday season is right around the corner. And it's almost like you're looking forward to these like cozy nights, but then you get 2 weeks, 3 weeks of darkness, and you're like, you can't really go outside as easily, and you're like, okay, yeah, this is starting to eat away at me a little bit. And then you get into the middle of January and you realize, okay, I've got about a month and a half of cold dark behind me, and I've got about a month and a half of cold dark in front of me, and it feels a little bit like, I don't know, you can feel a little stuck. You feel like I feel like that that seasonal despair almost sets in, and this is a particularly delicate time of the year to be balancing.
I want to hear a bit about where you are this January, mental health wise.
Yeah, I appreciate that. In a time where the days are shorter, it's colder outside, I find that my mental health can take a dip at times. This month in particular for me has actually been, not to use too much of the aquatic nautical themes that I use with the podcast, but I've been honestly like, I've been like riding a really good wave right now. This past like month maybe a half, maybe leaking into December of last year a little bit. I've actually been feeling really good. I found that for the listeners out there who may not know, I'm a man with anxiety disorder and obsessive compulsive disorder. So I've got those two diagnoses. Particularly during the winter, I found that my anxiety is heightened. My OCD gets a little bit worse. My intrusive thoughts become more prevalent. But I've been finding that this year in particular, and we can get into why. It's been interesting because I think we've both acknowledged that there's it feels like there's a bit of a vibe around a lot of people that we've talked to in terms of looking forward to 2024 with some optimism, which is fantastic. But we've had a few different conversations, and I've been, my podcast is, we're in the process of building a new season of that, which I'm really excited about. I've started working with a new podcast network, which was a big step for us. My day job's going really well. I'm happy with my personal life is thriving. Like, I really do feel like I'm genuinely joining you from a really wonderful spot. And that's something that I always appreciate extra, because I think that when you're so aware of the world of mental health and my place within it, that's not always been the case. So I feel fortunate to be able to sit here today and be like, hell yeah, no, I'm feeling pretty good.
I'm delighted to hear it. And so I guess for listeners that are tuning in, and maybe this has been more of a challenging month for them, what has that kind of contrast been like for you looking back at, you know, this time of year in the past? And what sort of things do you think have changed? Yeah.
Well, I think that I've been more social this time of year than I would be traditionally. I've been working from home for a little bit. And I've also, in the past, worked for jobs that I didn't really particularly love my coworkers too much. You know, it wasn't one of those things where I showed up to work and I was like, yes, I get to chat with Bobby and Billy and, you know, all the Jims and Joes. I found a really wonderful group of people through the work that I'm doing right now. I work a few different jobs, as so many people do. You know, you got to make the ends meet. But with both of the jobs that I'm working right now, one being in podcasting and then one being in working for a startup accelerator in Canada, both of the teams are really, really wonderful. And the podcasting production company, Snack Labs, that I work with, I get to do some in-person work with them. So they're a Halifax-based company. I'm based in Halifax, which is on the east coast of Canada. And they've been really wonderful, where they're three young men, and they have just kind of provided a sense of camaraderie this time of year that I think I've been missing. I just haven't had a lot of people in my life that I can go to and have a chat and work with and just kind of enjoy that energy. So that's been really healthy for me. I know social interaction is something that is crucial for my mental health, and it's not always something that I get this time of year when people aren't making as many plans. There is a lot more like you're cozying up. January, you know, there's different goals that are being set this time of year, and one of which I've always found has been, you know, financial goals. And so going out and doing things, not as many people may want to take part as they're trying to change maybe spending habits or anything of the sort. And movement is particularly tough as well. And that's something that I've been doing a lot more this time of year is I went back to the climbing gym in Halifax that I go to I'm doing bouldering and then also working out at a gym and doing some boxing as well. So I've been like moving my body. I feel like my social health has been great and my mental health is reaping the benefits. Yeah, it's been nice.
Yeah, and this is such a trend even that you're showing there of when we work on our mental health, when we take that time to, you know, reflect and kind of look these difficult, you know, topics and things we're grappling with in the eye in our life. For both of us, that can be therapy, that time yeah. that we prioritize making space specifically for that sort of reflection. It's interesting. You can have these conversations long enough and you start to spot it in people where you're like, they haven't said yet, but I'm pretty sure I can sniff some therapy off them, because even just the way you describe there and you're like, well, this area and I've tweaked this, you can really yeah. clarify, okay, here are the factors that have changed, that it's not just, mm-hmm. oh yeah, this January, it's real chill. Don't yeah. know why, who's to say? There's a lot of things you can identify. New Year's is one I have a difficult history with. I fundamentally think it's kind of overhyped and ridiculous. It's a lot of drama and planning and spend and balloons for a 10-second countdown. That's my kind of like cynical outlook of the celebrations in general. But on a personal note, I did get into this trend of getting to the end of the year. You've passed Christmas. Maybe you kind of have some of the exhaustion, some of the coming back down emotionally off the excitement that can be there. And then I would find myself getting to the end of the year and I would be looking back. I wouldn't be looking forward. And so that did end up being a time of year where my depression would either get worse or where if it wasn't affecting me day to day, certain symptoms would kind of come back and I would find myself pulled towards looking back and regretting or thinking, okay, here are all the things in my mind that I haven't achieved or I feel I've fallen short, even if that isn't reality. The dial was kind of turning towards finding fault, as I think for many people can set you up in a certain way when you go into the new year of how do I make good? How do I atone in some way for things I've kind of put on myself? And that other people, by having these kind of conversations and being open about this stuff, other people aren't holding my life to the same scrutiny. You know me well enough to know if there's one stereotype I'm not fitting, it's doing shit all with my life. You know, if anything, people are like, hey, how about this year we slow down and we don't need to have five jobs? If anything, it's the other way.
It's like, what am I going to do with all my time?
Yeah, what, have a day off? What do you do with that? And so I think, you know, when I look back, there is that experience that year on year, I've pulled out of that more. And a lot of that has been therapy. A lot of that has been talking about mental health more, normalizing it, having these conversations in my day-to-day life. And over time, that's had this cumulative effect where this year has been the breakthrough. You know, I remember my counselor at the time saying to me, do you think this is the year we let the New Year's thing go? You know, she thought it might have overstayed its welcome. And that was it a habit or was it a part of my kind of seasonal mental health ups and downs that, you know, we were actually past in some ways? And I think this is the year that I do really feel like I've been able to move past a lot of that. You know, I've looked back and this is the first year for as long as I can remember that has been that siding on, oh, I've achieved quite a few things here, actually. I find my brain ticking towards that versus what did I miss? What is that one thing I didn't do? And how can we examine that in isolation and feel really bad at it, even though there's probably legitimate reasons or a million other things you did do? And so I think partly for that reason, I'm similarly feeling a bit of a burden off this January.
Can I put the, I'll take the host hat off of you and I want to put it on myself for a second, because I want to ask, why do you think that this year was different?
Last year was a big year for me. Like, I got a lot done and a lot of it is life changes, like making more time for myself, getting acquainted with what days off are. And it's not that I've not been busy, but it's been working on those boundaries of how do I carve out time for myself? How do I kind of, like you were saying, acknowledge all the factors in my mental health of, okay, we got to mind ourselves, getting enough sleep, making time to be social. It doesn't have to just be like recording and like, oh, I'm sociable, I'm chatting to my guests. It's like, no, the time where it is fully off the clock, I'm meeting up with this friend, there is no deadline. If we talk late into the night, we talk late into the night. That has been nice to carve out that space and I think feel some of those expectations lifting. And even I was talking to my flatmate about this because, you know, he's been a wonderful addition to my life this year and we've become really close. And even with that, and, you know, I'm not saying anything to you I haven't said to him, you know, I can see how he's going easier on himself, even in the time we've lived together. You know, he's not feeling bad if he didn't get 100 things done at work, if he got 99 done, you know, trying to have that realistic perspective and not kind of overburdening yourself. And I think it's lovely to see that in him because I've been working on that in myself. And then I'm seeing how he's also working on it. And sort of having that reflected back. And maybe sometimes that means I'm the one that's nudging him of like, you've got a lot done today. Maybe what are you doing for yourself this evening? And it's stuff that I've learned the hard way of having to force myself to to make these boundaries and, you know, set limits.
Yeah, I love that.
I find that energy of having somebody to hold you accountable to self-compassion can be something that it's so beautiful because it's sometimes it is hard, right? You get caught up. It's so easy in the culture that we live in at the time that we live in to get so unbelievably, my light just dropped in the background there, to get so unbelievably caught up in, I must do more, I have to sacrifice, I have to, I use the term with the entrepreneurs, the young entrepreneurs that I work with, of mental debt, where I'm going to sacrifice now so that 5 years down the road, I have peace in my life and I'm happy and there's joy. But right now I'm going to be miserable. But eventually I will succeed at something, or something will change, or I will hit a certain milestone of success in my mind, or in whatever area of life, that that will instantly, all of my troubles will evaporate, my worries will seep away, and I will just be pure joy. I will have no worries in the world. And that's just so unrealistic. You really do have to find the time in every day to take care of you. And I think that having somebody around to just give you a nudge once in a while, it's super, super, super helpful. I also wanted to mention that I think it's funny, because I was so curious when you were talking about reflecting and the new year representing this time to evaluate and look back and go, okay, this didn't go right. I didn't like how I did this. This is haunting me. These things are sticking with me. And I find it funny, because I think that I've reached a point in my life now where so many of my anxieties are future-centric, where when I was growing up, I was always looking forward versus kind of looking in the past. Granted, it would always be maybe this situation and how I reacted to it will influence the future in this way, and that was what my fixations would be the future, not the past. But with New Year's, I fucking love New Year's Eve. I really do. I think that it is...
You're in the majority. I'm outvoted on this. I know.
I find it so... Well, I mean, granted, I think from the mental health standpoint, and this is... I don't want to get too, like, morose or anything like that, but, like, did I think at every year of my life I would make it to 2024? No. Like, absolutely not. There was times where I was like, oh, God, if I see the next new year, it'll be a miracle. And so I think that there is this element of, when you talk about self-compassion and when you talk about, you know, self-awareness and celebrating you and the opportunity to do that, I kind of see New Year's as a little bit like that for me, where it's like, this is a time of year that signifies a fresh start. That's metaphorical, right? Because I think that, like, you know, the person you are on the last day of 2023 is the same person you are on the next day of 2024. But I just think that there's something about that feeling of, like, wow, I'm turning the page, the calendar switches, there is a blank canvas in front of me in some weird way that just kind of reminds me that I'm alive. And it reminds me that I have another year in front of me that I can go and do great things, and I can experience some fun stuff, and I can talk to people that I love to talk to, and I can experience all the highs and lows that come with just being alive, and that's a fucking gift. So I don't know, I see the new year as a bit of a reminder to, like, almost take your time, and that, like, time is passing, and that is something that's special. And granted, what happens in the future happens in the future, what happened in the past happened in the past, and right now you just got you. So I know when you said you didn't like the new year, I was like, well, I'm gonna have to rebuttal here, because this is for me, I'm the guy with the hat on, with the eyes, and jumping all around and singing that song that nobody knows the words to, and having a grand old time.
I respect everyone makes choices.
This is why we're friends. Well, it's funny too, because they're wearing a black sweater. You've got a nice dress shirt on. I feel like we've got some yin and yang going on right now.
Contrast is good. Opposites attract sometimes. Like,
life's a little bit balanced.
Yeah, got to balance out your wrong choices.
Listen,
so I guess it can be something that I've learned to see more as, you know, it's January, the days are short, the nights and the days are cold. You know, there can be, like you say, that extra kind of feeling of effort around, oh, do I have to leave the house, exercise, yeah, be social, you know, you're thinking about money post-Christmas. There's a combination of factors that can come together to make us want to nest.
Yeah.
Or stay home and hide, depending on your perspective. And so I've kind of learned to see this as a time to mind yourself and go easy on yourself, versus it being a time when we can weaponize shame and guilt and some reflections we're having this time of year, because it's all around us. You know, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had recently where people have had the sort of, you know, the January small talk of, how are you? Oh, well, you know, I'm getting back to the gym. I know I need to. And I'm like, don't put that on me. You know, it feels like it's sometimes so crowdsourced that people have this, like,
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's this time of year. I've got to be exercising. I've got to be burning off calories. I've got to be making life changes. People expect me to. And so I'm maybe trying to plant the flag of being like, not me. I think look after yourself. Take it easy. And maybe this year is about as much reprioritizing you, setting new boundaries, doing self-care as it is, you know, oh, I've got to get promotion. And then, you know, with this in mind, one thing that's kind of bringing me hope this time of year is the conversation around Blue Monday, right? So there's the stuff around January. And then there's even more specifically this concept of Blue Monday. So the 15th of January, where various bits of research have come out over the years, much of it is disputed, on pinpointing that particular Monday as being the time of year that is most challenging for our mental health. This year, I'm seeing more pushback than ever around that concept, partly because it's getting so normalized as a thing, and various mental health charities like the Samaritans are stepping in and being like, no, why are we setting up this expectation that we have to all feel rotten on that day? That's not the case. Right. And if you do feel rotten, there is support, there is hope out there. Mm-hmm. We're one of the numbers you can call any day of the fucking year. And that's so lovely to see. The other side of the pushback, very rightly so, is because it's been co-opted as a marketing thing of like, oh, buy this product because it's a bad day, or have this dessert on your coffee run because it's Blue Monday. Mm. We don't need that.
Yeah, you fucking sad today, huh? Yeah, you're sad? Fucking buy this. Buy it. Consume. Yeah. It's, oh God, I know. You touch on so many aspects of this time of year that are just like plain rotten, where this expectation with New Year's, where, like you said, what's the one question you get asked that you never get asked any other time of the year apart from January 2nd, when you get back to work and the first thing, what are you going to change this year? What are you trying to change? And you're like, oh, like, right. Yeah. There's a societal expectation that I should choose something in my life that I have determined is not up to par, and I should better it. And I think that like true goal setting, I'm a huge believer that like wellness is not possible if shame and guilt are present. I've seen it in myself, and this is something that I'm speaking from
specifically. If they're the drivers. Right.
Yes.
In the same way you gave the example of your entrepreneurs earlier, where there's this idea that I will deny myself space and joy in certain ways because I've got to pursue this time where I'm saving joy for myself in the future. And you know what I'm sure you see all the time is that when people get to certain things, they can get so into that place that every time they reach a goal, they move the yardstick. They just move that milestone back and it's on to the next one. And the reality is, if you're not finding ways to etch out happiness, if you're not putting that into your life now, how do you expect to be any good at it? Plenty of very unhappy billionaires, millionaires, they're out there.
Absolutely.
Why do you think they think they need so much money? Maybe with the next million, I'll be happier. If your goal is based on, I feel shame about this, I feel guilt about this, these things in my life, I need to fix myself. If you're going to therapy, certain things like that will be challenged. But for most other goals, maybe you achieve them, but if you're not addressing those underlying emotions, they just latch onto something new.
100%. Absolutely. Because it doesn't go away. That's, I feel like there's always, and again, like I was saying, like I see it in myself. I always remember looking in the mirror and going, oh, fuck, I hate that. It looks so gross. And you're like, God, I really need to get into the gym. And once I get into the gym, I'll look at myself and say, I love myself. Oh my God. I look in the mirror and I think, what a great guy. That guy's the guy looking back at me like super, superstar. And then you'd go to the gym and you'd beat the crap out of yourself and you would deprive yourself of all the foods that you love to eat. And then you would go, you'd look in the mirror and go, well, now there's this thing that I hate about that guy. And it's like, oh, I just needed to work on me. I needed to work on, you know, the self-loathing that's been present for X amount of years. So it's so easy, especially when you are like, you're not just fighting your own inner dialogue, but the inner dialogue that's been placed there by friends or family who have said things in passing that have stuck with you, or who have perpetuated trauma onto you. Society who has said that you need to be better, you need to look like this, you need to sound like that. And all of a sudden you find yourself at this time of the year where people go, and now all of that shit that's been put on you, now change. And you go, oh, shit, okay, I guess I will. And then it's like, where's this change coming from? And you, like you said, it's empty calories. It is, you do the thing, and granted, hey, you reach that goal, but that unhappiness, that thing that you were trying to run away from, that you tried to find the solution for, sure, you might, now you got the six pack and you're still miserable, like, there's some bigger things to work on than I always find it's the band-aid on the bullet hole time of year, where it's like, what's the thing I can do that makes me think I'm going to be better? And then once it happens, you go, oh, right. Yeah, no, I needed some like deep seated. I needed to fish this thing out and actually sew myself up. I don't know. I find it super interesting. I've been surrounded by it, I think, within the world of entrepreneurship a little bit, with goal setting and why entrepreneurs kind of do the things that they do, why they make the sacrifices they make. And so this idea of goal setting is something that I've become a lot more interested in. And the more interested in and the more I dig into it, I think the more horrified I become, because I'm like, oh, my God, like all of these people are doing these things and so many of them are seeing these like very hollow results, and that even makes it worse. I've got the six pack, why am I still angry, why am I still sad? And then that perpetuates more, well, I suck, I'm the worst, I should be happy about this, I can't feel happy. Oh, and it just perpetuates the cycle. It's fascinating, it's sad, but it's weirdly human.
Absolutely. And look, I'm happy to be the example here as somebody who's lived a mostly self-employed career. I make time for myself now. I do have days off, even when there's a lot of competing priorities at me. I am not achieving any less than I ever did. In fact, the opposite, because I'm working smarter. You know, I have a role where I co-manage 40 people. Mm-hmm. I have to deal with a lot of like high-level kind of negotiation, leadership, hirings, training, all manners of what you think management might entail. A lot of HR stuff I'm responsible for.
All the fun stuff, right?
No, but look, I'm also the well-being officer. You know, my skills are transferable. You know, I obviously have the podcasting. I have a lot of other areas of the podcast industry I work in, on training and mentorship, producing for other people's shows. And then, do you know what I'm doing between it lately? I'm also writing a book. You know, so like, this isn't the picture of somebody who's got nothing going on.
I don't know. I didn't know you were writing a book.
I mean, there's a whole list of things. I was like, I'm sure you're not going to know one of these things I've got going on. I am writing a book.
Yeah, I was going to, because I thought you were going to say like, you know, like I'm researching, I'm in school. And then all of a sudden you were like, oh yeah, I'm writing a book. I was like, wait a minute, what?
Well, this is
That's it. Super cool. Congratulations.
Yeah, there's different facets to my life. And so I don't always get to talk Needless about all to of say, them. Yeah. And yeah, I will tell you more on that, because there's maybe some updates to follow for the listeners on that front. We will see how the book goes.
All right.
But, you know, the point is, you know, it is possible to achieve things and to fucking look after yourself as well. And you know what? Not just are they not mutually exclusive, they very much work brilliantly hand in hand. And to kind of start wrapping up then, we've been noticing a similar upswing. Another thing that's giving us hope this January, in not just being us, you know, this conversation, this kind of examining of New Year's resolutions, the ways in which we treat ourselves at this time of year, the stereotypes of January, the stereotypes of Blue Monday, there's a lot more questioning of it, you know, just in day-to-day chats. And I find this exciting. I also find this kind of surprising in a way, we were reflecting off Mike, because it is partly in the context of a lot of very concerning global events. You know, we look at what's happening in Gaza. We have a look at what's happening in Ukraine. It is something that's hard to wrap my head around, that I am seeing a certain optimism around me in our own society. And yet there's also this awareness and this concern, and people out on the streets here in Dublin every Saturday protesting to support lives under threat around the world. And I wonder if maybe if there is a link, it's that there is a feeling that change is possible for ourselves, mm-hmm. and change is possible to save lives across the globe.
Well, absolutely. And I think that seeing so much of the news that's going on around the world, and you don't have the threat of any danger on that scale, you know, coming into your life, and you go, wow, this is what life's all about. And then there is, you know, so many of these different perspectives that are out there. And just I think that so much of it is like you have to start with appreciating you, because then you foster this appreciation for your neighbors. You foster this appreciation for your community. It's like I do believe that there is this element where it starts with us, everybody, where you have to acknowledge the value that you hold, and then you have to see the value in everything else. And it is interesting because I do think that this time of year, typically in the past, I've noticed, like, you know, you notice that downturn. But this year, like we've both talked about, and this is just our experience, like we've both seen the uptick. We've both seen an appreciation and more people being like, you know what, I'm feeling good about 2024. I feel like this could be a good year. And that is a powerful thing, because keeping in mind that if it's going to be a better 2024 for us, you got to make sure it's a better 2024 for everybody else. And so that means getting out there and doing what you can to enact positive change that's going to allow that 2024 to genuinely be a good year on a global scale. I think that starts with local, but you got to put one foot in front of the other in terms of enacting positive change that can be seen, seen across this big blue marble.
Absolutely. And yeah, this is what I want for people, that this year can be a turning point in a lot of ways. And whilst not everyone will be sharing our optimism right now, I wanted to acknowledge some of the ways that we've found through. I also find it hilarious that we're both just able to make an impassioned speech on the drop of a hat. I was talking to the flatmate the other day, and I can't even remember what topic I stumbled across, but I fully caught myself like halfway through like a speech about rights of one group or another. And I was just like, you're ready for public speaking at any moment, whether somebody asks you to or not.
It's the podcast. It's a gift and a curse, because I find that once in a while, like, you're having dinner with people and you're just having a lovely conversation. I really did just talk for like 3-4 minutes.
You're like, I'm in it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've got to finish my points now.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, well, God, I'm pretty pot committed at this point.
That's the thing, is also when you feel passionate about it, it's easy to talk about it. Anytime anybody like mentions mental health, give me a microphone, give me a couple hours, I got you. No problem. Exactly, right? So I think it's all about just I love it, because I think that it's nice that it just born from a place of care.
All right, so on that note, we'll wrap up there. If people want to find your work, find the pod as it continues to evolve, where do they go?
Yes. Well, they can go check it out wherever they get their podcast. This is the podcaster spiel right here. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts. But Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your auditory needs, you can find it there. Just look up Life's a Wreck, and then you can look up Life's a Wreck Podcast on Instagram. And if you want to check out my personal stuff, whatever that might, my work and just my day to day, you can check out Morzy on Instagram, MOORZYYY.
That is spoken like a true pro. The amount of times I get to the end of these conversations and I get to the bit where I plug and then like people just stare at me blankly. Obviously we edit, but I have had it on far too many occasions.
The beauty of editing.
Where I'm there like, What about the book? People are going to be mad at us if you don't talk about the book. That's half the reason you're here.
I had a guest one time where I asked them, I said, where can they find your work? And they spelled it out verbatim, a URL. It was like 40 characters long. And I was like, we'll link that in the description. But it was like www. And then they did the website. It was like / whatever the thing, / blah, 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 dot, blah, 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 / And I was trying not to chuckle because it was the most unique way I've ever had somebody plug their stuff. So, I mean, it made me go check it out for sure.
Don't get me started. I crop out the www dot when people say it, because you don't need, that's not modern internet. That's
World Wide Web, Life's a Wreck Podcast.
Yeah, we're not even going to get into the nerddom of why you don't need that anymore. Listeners, just take my word for it. For now, though, it's always great catching up with you. And final parting message to the listeners, if I've not already got it through, look after yourselves. It is a tough time of year, a lot of years. And so, yeah, we've got this.
We've got this. I love that.
All right. Well, there you go. I know I nearly went into the like you are enough stuff that's at the end of the podcast. But, you know, if people don't get the message behind that when they hear it every week, we got to try some different phrases. All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thank you for listening. For a list of our recommended resources, visit mentalpodcast.co.uk. And remember, we are in no way a substitute for qualified counselling or other mental health support. Our show is edited and produced by the brilliant Pete Murta, with licensed music by NetSky. Links in the description. Speak to you next Thursday, and remember, you are enough.